بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى خاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. صلى الله عليه وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
I'm going to speak about three points tonight. One is what we have just concluded today in San Diego, and that is the National Conference of the Muslim and Catholic leaders in the United States of America. We've been doing this dialogue for almost 18 years now, or maybe 20 years. I joined the dialogue 15 years ago. And this dialogue is divided into three regions: the East Coast, the West Coast, and the North, Northeast or Northwest probably, including Chicago and Detroit. Do we call them Northeast? Midwest. Midwest, you are right. I'm not good in geography, so. And we have a dialogue, these three regions, they have a dialogue every year. We've been having it here in on the West Coast in many pleasant, beautiful Catholic premises. However, last year we had the dialogue here in the middle of this masjid here. And also we have the national dialogue that gathers all those leaders from the Midwest, from the East Coast and the West Coast every 3 years. And this is what we just concluded today. We started a dialogue on Tuesday morning and we concluded this today in the afternoon. I learned one thing. Many people ask me, why do you go to these dialogues? What are the benefits, if any, of these dialogues? I always say, we don't have to agree with each other. We don't have to agree of everything we say, but however, we have to respect each other and we have to listen to each other. And this is a Quranic concept: listening to each other, listening to the others is a Quranic concept. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ, those, the righteous are those who hear the opinions, the theories, the doctrines. يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ, and they will choose the best among it. We have to listen to each other. We live in a world that has been characterized by turmoil, by mistrust, by a person who just today, 3 hours ago, he said, the Pope is wrong and I am right. Why? Because the Pope said what he's advocating, building a wall between two nations and two countries, are non-Christian. This is not a Christian idea. So he said to the leader of 2 billion Catholics that you are wrong and I am right. Imagine if this person becomes the president of the most powerful country in the world. What will happen? So this is our situation today. Therefore, we need to get together. We need to understand each other. On a personal level, we have developed this enormous friendship for the last 15 years on a personal level. The Bishop of San Diego was saying last night at the University of San Diego, which is a very prominent, did I say the name right?
Yes.
University of San Diego. Very prominent Catholic institution and very beautiful. And by the way, one family built the Center of Peace, the Clark Center of Peace, and they paid $35 million to build this majestic Center of Peace and Understanding. So we had the last night event was there, and there was a good amount of people there from both Muslim and Catholics and others too. He said, our problem is that we fear each other. And fear, the fear is the cause of every evil. When we don't understand each other, when we depend on rumors rather than facts. And we, the Muslims, have the same problem. The Shias and the Sunnis, they suffer from the same problem, the factor of fear and mistrust and misconception about each other. The reason I go to these dialogues, not just to get to know my Catholic friends, but also to know my Sunni leaders, brothers and sisters. Because we don't have other venue to see each other and meet each other. And today, at breakfast, we had a very good meeting among the Muslim leaders regarding the Salat, and what is recommended mustahabbat of the prayers, and what is mandatory, and how we combine, where we are allowed to combine the salat. We had some good discussion. Some of them were Shafi'i, some of them were Hanafi, others like me were Ja'fari. So it was an opportunity for us to discover each other's principles and rulings too. This is why I like these gatherings, because it's not only between Muslims and Christians, but between the Sunnis and the Shia. Of course, there were 10 Sunnis and only one Shia. So, but alhamdulillah, it's better than nothing. My second point is Bayan Clermont. Our friends from Bayan Clermont, headed by my dear brother, Munir Sheikh, is the director of the academic affairs and planning at Bayan Clermont, which is a newly born academic institution, graduate school. Many of you know that my two sons, Sayyid Hadi and Sayyid Mehdi, they did their masters there. I joined Clermont in 1997, and I was the only Muslim student on that campus. At that time, the president was the late Bob Edger. Bob Edger was the president. He died 5 years ago. And also, we welcome Kamran Aghai. Can you stand, Kamran, so they can see you? He's the professor of history at University of Texas, Austin. Munir, can you? Oh, they saw you already. And we have Ataullah Kahveci. His name in Turkish, this is the Arabic pronunciation. Atalla in Turkish, Kahveci. But he is Ataullah Kahveci. God-given, Ataullah, a gift from God. He is the vice president of the Pacifica Institute. How many of you are familiar with this name? People of Irvine, how many of you know about Pacifica Institute? Can you stand, Brother Ataullah? Pacifica Institute is it 3 years old?
In 2003.
2003?
Yes.
My God. So it is 13 years old. So sorry, I am also ignorant, you know. It is one of the progressive institutes that was, these are one of the enterprises of Fethullah Gulen, in Turkey, but he's of course in Philadelphia. And they opened many chapters, one of them here in our backyard in Irvine, and many other. How many chapters you have throughout the nation?
Well, we have sister organizations, but throughout the West Coast, it's, we have 11
chapters. 11 chapters, yes. And they do some good programs. I really encourage you to go and participate and learn. Also, we have Dr. John Barton. He's professor at Pepperdine University. Can you stand, Dr. John, please? And of course, we have the students. Should I mention the names of the students? I don't know the names, so can the students stand, please? The females and the male students, can you stand and say salawat for them? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Kamran Aghai is here teaching a course on Shia-Sunni relations. Yes? And this is very much needed today, that our academics, students, leaders, they get together to enhance the understanding of these two schools. There are many people on both sides who have misconceptions about the others. And the reason of these misconceptions are ignorance, when we don't know. When we don't know the other side, we misconceive them, we misunderstand them. But it is through these programs, my friends, that we get to know each other. When students visit this institution and they go to other institutions and they see firsthand, directly, they see the way we worship, the way we pray, the Quran that we have here in our masjid, and the men and women who come here, the young, the children who come here. These are very effective tools in getting to know one another, understanding. Maybe we disagree, but we must recognize each other. We live in a pluralistic society. So, in order for us to keep our community safe, our families safe, our children safe, they do not join ISIS, Al-Qaeda, we have to teach them this diversity. We have to teach them how to respect others. This is at least one of the things that I learned throughout the 22 years of my life in this country. I learned how to respect others, how to listen to others. I learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us into nations and tribes, لِتَعَارَفُوا يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلٍ لِتَعَارَفُوا. So you recognize, you get to know, you get to understand. Most of those who harbor suspicion about Islam today in America, the vast majority of them, they don't like Islam because they have not met Muslims. The only time they meet a Muslim is in the news when something bad happens in San Bernardino, in other places. That is the only time they hear about Islam. But they haven't met Muslims on a personal, human level. It is our job, my friends. In the same way that we pray and fast in this country, we have to reach out to others, to your neighbors. This is my humble advice to all of you. In your neighborhood, you have to take the initiative and go to your immediate neighbors. Introduce yourself. Let them know you are a Muslim. Let them know you are American. And let them know there is no conflict between Islam and America. There was There was a clip on YouTube circulated just 2 days ago, a program made on CBS, where a young American lady, Christian, she goes to her parents in a restaurant, and they find her wearing the wedding ring. Did you see it? Engagement ring. And they tell her, engaged? She says, yes, I'm engaged. You didn't tell us you are engaged. She said, but, well, it happened very quick. And then she asks her fiancé to come inside to meet her parents. And the fiancé happened to be, of course, this is just a movie. It's not real. But the cameras were capturing this moment. And this is very true. This is very true. So the guy comes, and he happens to be Muslim. His name is Muhammad, and he's wearing a kufi. So imagine when those parents saw him, they were really shocked. They could not control themselves. They started yelling at her. You would not marry this guy. He's a Muslim. He's non-American. He cannot be American. A Muslim cannot be American in the 21st century. In the United States of America, in the state of New Jersey. A Muslim cannot be American. This is a reflection of a wide spectrum of people in this country. What do we do? How do we solve this problem? By more prejudice, by returning prejudice with another prejudice, racism with another racism, bigotry with another bigotry? Or by just say, oh God, please help us. Dua and prayers would not work here. God would not listen. God says, I have the solution for you. And when we ask him, where is the solution? Show me. He says, the solution is here. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. I'm not going to change your circumstances unless you change your conditions. How do we change the condition? How do we change our conditions? One of them is to go to my neighbors and tell them I'm here, next door. I'm Mustafa, I'm from Iraq. Yes, I'm not white, I wear a turban, but I'm an American citizen. We share these values, human principles. I'm not your enemy. We have to reach out to them. They are human beings. And Allah says, we have equipped human being with reason. الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. Intelligence. Maybe not all of them are going to receive us and agree with us and be happy with us. No. But maybe most of them. Maybe a few of them, but at least I say to God, God, I did what you asked me to do, and I leave the rest with you. My friends, we need to live in this country. And all of you are going to live in this country. None of you is going to go home, I am telling you. Believe me, your home is this place. This is the home of your next generation, your children, your grandchildren. None of you would go home. I know some people who packed and they left home after 3 months, they came back here. They said America is more Islamic than other countries. And this is a reality. We have to be honest. We have to be honest. This is a reality. Your kids were born or raised here. They belong to this place. They belong to this land. And they belong to this culture. So they have to know how to defend their values and themselves against few who are bigots. They have to speak up. Speak up against racism, injustice, whether it's against Muslims or Jews or Mormons or Catholics or Hispanics or blacks. لقد أرسلنا رسلنا بالبينات وأنزلنا معهم الكتاب والميزان ليقوم الناس بالقسط. We sent this army of prophets and messengers and apostles. We supplied them with scriptures and books and guidance, so the masses, the people, liyaqum an-nas, they would live up to justice, stand up for justice, and fight for justice. That is the purpose of our creation. Justice. Justice. To pursue justice. ليقوم الناس بالقسط. الناس. الناس in Arabic, alif lam. On alif lam you have this article, comes with nas. It means all mankind. Not just the Arabs or the Muslims. All mankind. الناس. بالقسط. بالقسط is justice, social justice. We have to fight for justice. This is our mandate and this is our mission and this is our goal. And we leave the rest with God. Now whether we succeed or not, this is not my business. This is God's business. My job is to fight, is to continue. Allah wants you to be a good ambassador of your religion in this country. Reach out to others. Reach out. I said, my friends, this story here in the past, it's a very capturing story, and it's a true story. One day I was at a conference in St. Louis, Missouri. And a man came to me. He said, are you an imam? I said, yes. White man came to me in that conference. It was a Muslim conference. It was mostly Arab-Muslim conference. He said, I want to talk to you. He took me aside. He said, I want to convert to Islam. I said, why do you want to convert to Islam? He said, because I am convinced that Islam is the religion, is the way. I said, but how are you convinced? How do you know? Did you do your homework? He said, yes. I said to him, do you mind sharing the story with me? I want to learn from you. He said, one day in my neighborhood, somebody knocked at my door. I opened the door. It was a child of 10 to 12 years old, carrying a dish of food. I said, what is this? Who are you? He said, I'm your neighbor. And he gave me the dish. And I said, what's your name? Why do you bring me food? I'm not homeless. We have food at home. He said, this is a gift. My dad says, this is a gift. So I took it from him and I shut the door and I went to my wife. I said to her, a neighbor sent us food. And I took the dish right to the trash. I dumped the dish of food without even looking to it. Because I was offended. He says the following day, the same time, at sunset, and again, the door was locked. I opened the door. This time, the boy with his dad. His dad does not speak English. Another dish. I said to them, what's wrong with you guys? I'm not hungry. We have food. The dad, who did not speak good English, he asked his son to translate for him. The son said, yes, we know you have food, but this is the month of Ramadan now. And now it's the time for sunset. We fast. We fast from dawn until sunset. And now we are about to eat. Our custom and our tradition is to share our food with our neighbors. You are our neighbor. Our Prophet Muhammad taught us that when you are, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, to break your fast, it is recommended, mustahab, to share your food, your meal with your neighbors. And we know you are not fasting, but you are a neighbor. He says, I was shocked. The first time I hear about Muhammad and about food and about fasting and about sharing the food. He says, I was very embarrassed. I asked them to come inside the house. They sat with me. They told me about Ramadan. And then he said, I ate the food that night with my wife and my kids, two kids. Then he said, I was meditating on this for a long time. I asked myself, those people, they don't know me. They know nothing about me. I am not the mayor of the town. I am not the chief of police. They don't have a need so they can bribe me with food, with a meal. They know nothing about me. Nothing, completely. Only thing they know about me is I am a neighbor. It must be their religion. Their religion is a good religion. Their God, he was telling me, their God is a compassionate, considerate God. That made me to go and study Islam and search about Islam. Until I am convinced, he was telling me, I'm convinced that this is the way. This is the way of mercy and compassion and love, and this is the essence of Islam and the essence of this life. My friend, we are not here to convert people to Islam. Nowhere in my career, in my service at this center for 22 years in California, I asked a single person to accept Islam. Never ever. Neither I asked a single person to convert from Sunni Islam into Shia Islam. Never. I'm against that. However, when someone asks me about Islam, definitely I have to present to him. I'm ready to sit with him or her for many hours. If someone asks me about Shia Islam, I'm ready to sit and answer and discuss and dialogue. But I would never say, convert, please convert. I would never say that. Because I firmly believe in what this book says. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. O Muhammad, it is not you who convert the hearts. It is God who converts the hearts and the minds of those that he likes. All what we can do is to be good. All what we can do is to talk the talk and walk the walk and implement this book. We are not here to implement Sharia, Islamic law. No. We are here to follow the akhlaq, the manners of this book and the manners of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this one takes me to my third point and last point. I prepared another lecture for tonight. I'll save it for another day. It's here. I'm not going to use this one. My third point is tonight, the anniversary of the martyrdom of the beloved daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam is loved and respected and admired by all Muslims. All historians on both sides, on both schools, they narrate this hadith. Inna Allah yarda li ridha Fatima wa yaghdabu li ghadabiha. And this hadith is in the heart of Sahih al-Bukhari and the heart of Sahih Muslim. Inna Allah yarda li ridha Fatima. There was an American professor who was Catholic teaching in Iowa. He was studying Islam for a long period of time. It took him 10 years. And then he accepted Islam. He says, one of the reasons I accepted Islam is this hadith. The hadith of the Prophet regarding his daughter, Fatima. Inna Allah yarda. The Lord is satisfied for the satisfaction of Fatima. And he would become angry and happy. Angry and unhappy for her anger. He says, what I heard about Islam is that Islam abuse women. Women are second-class citizens in this religion. They have no respect, they have no say. But then I came across this hadith that God is happy for the happiness of a lady, a woman. And he will be angry and unhappy for her unhappiness. I said, if God, the Lord of the universe, the sustainer, the creator, the cherisher of everything in this universe, he says, I would be happy for the happiness of this lady. This means that women are important in Islam. Women occupy a very important position and role in Islam. Then what I heard about women are abused, women are second-class citizens, are not true. So this hadith convinced me that Islam is a good religion. Islam respects women. They enjoy a very honorable position in life. And Fatima was the embodiment of this position. Fatima as a daughter, her father, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, Fatima to Ummu Abiha, she's the mother of her father. The hadith is narrated everywhere. Google the hadith and see how many references you find about it in Sunni and Shia tradition. Fatima to Ummu Abiha. This lady Fatima, she's the mother of her father. The mother in what sense? She did not give birth to him. In this sense, that she provided him with love, with care, with protection. The Prophet lost his mother, Amina bint Wahab, alayhi salam. He was a little boy when he lost his mother. So he lost that love, the motherly love. Every human being, every male yearns for the emotions and the love of a woman. Every man, without any exception. If you are a child, you need the love and the attention of your mother. When you get to your teens, you start searching for your sweetheart. You need to get her attention, her love. She brings you chocolate on Valentine's, you know. Then after that, you get married. You need the attention and respect and love and care and emotions and tears of your wife to support you, to help you. And the Prophet is no exception. But the Prophet lost his mother when he was very young. Allah substituted him with a young lady called Fatima al-Zahra, alayhi salam. Who took care of him. When the Prophet was under attack in Badr, in Uhud, and he was wounded in the Battle of Uhud, Fatima was very young. Maybe she was 13. Maybe she was 12, 13 or 14. And she saw her father being wounded and he was almost killed in the Battle of Uhud. She rushed to her father, tending to him, cleaning the blood, embracing her father, telling him, Daddy, don't worry, your daughter Fatima is next to you. She's here with you. And therefore, when the Prophet, by the order of God, which is in chapter 3, Surah Al-Imran, he was asked to dialogue with the Christians of Najran in Yemen, the only female he took with him to that debate is Fatima. That's according to all exegists, all mufassireen. Unanimously they agree, the only female that the Prophet took was Fatima. The only male the Prophet took with him was Ali, and the only children that the Prophet took were Hassan and Hussein, alayhim as-salam. It's in this book. إِنَّ مَثَلَ عِيسَىٰ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ آدَمْ خَلَقَهُ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ فَلَا تَكُنْ مِنَ الْمُمْتَرِينَ فَمَنْ حَاجَّكَ فِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ فَقُلْ, say to them, to the Catholic, to the Christian side, فَقُلْ تَعَالَوْ نَدْعُ أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ, we invite our children and your children. And he took only Hassan and Hussein. وَنِسَاءَنَا, our women and your women. And he took only Fatima. وَأَنْفُسَنَا وَأَنْفُسَكُمْ, ourselves and yourselves. And he took Ali and himself. So Fatima was so important to her dad, to her father. And then at the time of marriage, my friends, almost every companion of the Prophet, the first class companions who surrounded the Prophet, they asked for her hand. They came to Rasulullah. She's the jewel of the family. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, can we marry your daughter, father? Almost every companion, I don't go through the names, read the history. The answer of the Prophet was also unanimous. He had only one answer. He said, Amruha biyadillahi ta'ala. The marriage of Fatima is decided and determined by Allah, not me. I'm waiting for the green light. Now you may say, does God interfere in our marriages? Yes, he does. Because in the same book, Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33, God says to the Prophet, Zainab was divorced. I want you to go and marry her. فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِنْهَا وَطَرًا زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا. When her husband divorced her, they did not get along. I want you to go and marry Zainab. God is saying to the Prophet, I am your Lord asking you to marry Zainab. So he does interfere, maybe not in your marriage, in my marriage, but in the marriage of the prophets and the imams and the leaders. Because their wives, their daughters are going to be a role model for the rest of the community. Because God does not interfere in our marriages. You know why? Because we don't even allow our mothers and our fathers to interfere. So God knows that we, you know. According to Hillary Clinton, 15 years ago, she said, marriage is the relation between one husband and one wife. No more interference. So, God gave her to Ali by the commands of God. Ali at that time was financially broke. No penny in his pocket. Ali was a farmer. Ali ibn Abi Talib at that time in Medina was a farmer. But also the defense minister of Islam. Whenever there is an assault, an attack on Islam, Ali is the first one with his Dhulfiqar. He will defend Islam. So the Prophet was waiting for Ali to come and ask for her hand. And when Ali came, the Prophet never asked him, Ali, how much money you have? Ali, what state, what assets, what mahr and dowry you going to present to my daughter? Today, the first question is asked, how much money he has? What is your job? Do you have an apartment? Do you have a house? How much you can afford? You know, many marriages, they were almost completed. Last minute, they fall apart. You know why? Because of the disagreement on mahr. On money. Two people, they love each other, but their families, they say, no. I don't care about love. I don't care about protection. All what I care about, money. How much money you give to my daughter? If you don't give her this amount, no marriage. This is not marriage. This is slavery. You are selling your daughter. And this is wrong. But Fatima was mature enough to choose the best man in the universe, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Ali said, I have only my shield and my sword. My all property, three items, shield, sword, and the skin water container that I carry because I'm a farmer. The Prophet said to him, you keep an-nadih, the skin water container, keep it because this is your work. And we need your sword, but you don't need a shield. A shield is carried by someone who is about to run away. I don't see you running away from any battlefield. You always forge to the front, forward. So he sold the shield for 480 silver coins, dirham. 480 in the market. And he brings the money and gives it to the Rasulullah. And the Prophet said, this is the jihaz. This is the furniture, the house, the wedding gown, and the walima, the food of the wedding of Fatima and Ali. And that was the most successful marriage in the history of mankind. The most productive. The most peaceful. No argument. No hard feeling. No complaints. Because Fatima married Ali for the sake of God. لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. And therefore, such a marriage produced chapter 76, Surah Al-Insan. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ نَبْتَلِيهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. And then comes to this ayah, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ يَشْرَبُونَ مِنْ كَأْسٍ كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا كَافُورًا عَيْنًا يَشْرَبُ بِهَا عِبَادُ اللَّهِ يُفَجِّرُونَهَا تَفْجِيرًا يُوفُونَ بِالنَّذْرِ. They honor their vow. يُوفُونَ بِالنَّذْرِ وَيَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا كَانَ شَرُّهُ مُسْتَطِيرًا وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكور. The food that we give you, we go hungry for 3 days and 3 nights, no food, only water. Ali, Fatima, Hassan, Hussein, and Fidda, the lady who was serving them, five leaders, Ali, Fatima, Hassan, Hussein, and Fidda. They go without food for 3 days. Not to become celebrities and famous. إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. Not even we wait a word of thanks from you. Don't tell us thank you. We do this for the sake of God. This is the marriage. When the marriage is for God, everything you do would be for God, not for yourself. That's the essence of life. The essence of life is that we work for God. Once we work for God, God is going to work for us. We take care of Him and His affairs. He's self-sufficient. He doesn't need food or a drink. He says, the food and the drink and money that I give you, share it with others. Just share it. Don't send it to me. Share it with others. I'm going to credit your account. He would work for us. And this is exactly what Fatima al-Zahra did. In her marriage, raising children, being a wife, being a daughter, until the last minute of her life. And she was so much attached to her father, Rasulullah, that she could not live after him more than 3 months because of a tragedy that took place. Very bitter tragedy in the history of Islam. We don't want to revisit these. We are speaking about unity between Shias and Sunnis. But we have to know what happened. We have to know. What happened should bring us together, not set us apart from each other. The tragedy of Fatima, the tragedy of Ashura, of Imam Hussein, should be a reason for us to get together and work together to fight corruption, to fight injustice in our societies. Muslims should understand each other. So Fatima alayhi salam, she left this life 3 months after the departure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ali carried her to her last destination, to her qabr. There were only 7 of the companions who came to her funeral. Medina was very sad. And very dark. The house of Ali was very dark. She left 4 children. She left Hassan and Hussein. And Zainab and Umm Kulthum. The oldest among them was Hassan, 8 years old. Hussein was 7. Zainab was 6. And Umm Kulthum was 5. At the night of her departure, she said, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, I want you to take care of my children. فَإِنَّهُمَا يُصْبِحَانْ غَرِيبَيْنْ مِنْ بَعْدِ بِالْأَمْسْ فَقَدَا جَدَّهُمَا." وَالْيَوْمْ يَفْقِدَانْ أُمُّهُمَا. Yesterday they lost their grandfather, today they are losing their mother. So I want you to be, and I know I have confidence in you, to be the guardian, the caretaker. Those are the future leaders of Islam. When she passed away, at that minute, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, and Amir al-Mu'mineen, they were outside the house in the masjid. So they came. And they rushed into the room. Fidda, she wanted to stop them from reaching their mother's body. But they refused. Fidda said to them, "My masters, Sayyidai, kula ta'amakuma, lunch is ready." Hussein answers her, "Ya Fidda, متى رأيتنا نأكل من دون أمنا فاطمة." When did you see us eating food without our mother? إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات. تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات. إنك مجيب الدعوات، إنك غافر الخطيئات، إنك ماحي السيئات وجاعلها حسنات، إنك على كل شيء قدير. Many people in our community asked me to recite this ayah, this verse, this dua tonight, ليلة الجمعة, sacred night, the night where the gates of the heaven are open for our prayers, our supplications, and our du'as. So let's pray for them. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amman yujibu al-muftarra idha da'ah wa yakshifu al-su'. Amman yujibu al-muftarra idha da'ah wa yakshifu al-su'. Amman yujibu al-muftarra idha da'ah wa yakshifu al-su'. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. يا الله، اللهم اكشف السوء عنا، اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية، ووحد كلمة المسلمين على الخير والبر والصلاح والتقوى يا أرحم الراحمين، وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان، وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.